You think you know gremlins, and you likely do know the most popular version of them. You might imagine that gremlin lore has been around for centuries, perhaps an old story passed down by oral tradition. But gremlins are actually a relatively new invention. They first appear in the early 20th century as a type of mischievous sprite that interferes with industrial technology. A means of explaining baffling technological problems and human error, they became particularly significant in World War I with the use of the first military airplanes. The story of how we go from this to this is a remarkable tale of how a little goblin is a product of modern technology. I'm Dr. Emily Zarka, and this is Monstrum. The concept of small, mischievous, supernatural creatures that terrorize humans has a long history in Celtic, Scottish, and British fairy traditions. Fairies evolved over thousands of years of folklore, art, and literature, but gremlins are a relatively new monster, imagined by the Royal Air Force around 1920. The etymology for the word is tricky. There's the Old English word for to vex, and the Irish Gaelic word for bad-tempered little fellow, which both could have contributed to gremlins' conception. Then there's goblin, which denotes a small, ugly, malevolent, gnome-like creature. It's even possible that gremlin was a blend of the word goblin and fremlin, the beer popular to the RAF. Before any association with monsters, some British airmen used gremlin as negative slang for underpaid and undervalued members of the Air Force whose work was seen as menial. British magazine The Spectator reported on claims of the phenomenon going back to around 1917 or 1918. Gremlin became a term used to explain mechanical issues with warplanes. They were blamed for things like suddenly drained batteries, malfunctioning landing gear, and compasses gone haywire. It makes sense with such a long history of fae tradition, Brits would adapt that idea for the post-industrial age to explain a slew of new, inexplicable mechanical errors. They were like the mascots of malfunction. A newspaper story about a pilot who blamed gremlins for his crash solidified them as dangerous tricksters. By World War II, gremlin lore was widespread in the British aviation community. The few people who claim to have seen them describe gremlins as no more than a foot tall. They have long noses, brightly colored skin, and large feet with suction cups that allow them to attach to the plane. Reports of the gremlins turned up in the American military around 1942 at the same time American war journalists embedded in England published articles about the mischievous bat-eared and long-nosed creatures. In 1943, gremlins were well known enough that newspapers began to report on the different varieties, like puffs who sucked the air from under the wings of the planes into their massive stomachs, causing turbulence, or some of the most menacing, the strato gremlin. Spotted only above 35,000 feet, mechanical and medical problems on Boeing B-17 bombers were blamed on the strato gremlin. They had a unique specific appearance covered in frosty blue fur that makes them nearly invisible with oxygen tanks on their backs. Eventually, the U.S. Air Force leaned into the legend, featuring gremlins in posters and pamphlets that warned aviators of common dangers to watch out for. Like the beautiful gremlin Anne, who warned about anoxia, a dangerous condition of running out of oxygen at high altitudes. Anoxia for a loop. Or Bubbles Nitrogen, who cautions against air embolisms, giving aviators bubbles in their blood. Wet Oxygen Willy freezes oxygen regulators. So here, much like other monsters, the gremlin functioned as a warning or symbol for real dangers to the airmen. The gremlin made its way into popular culture with a little help from Walt Disney. In 1942, Disney took over Walter Winchell's syndicated newspaper column to share the real facts of the lore of the gremlins, complete with original sketches. It leaned into RAF lore, which Disney became familiar with in part thanks to British author Roald Dahl. As one version of the story goes, Dahl was an ex-World War II Royal Air Force pilot still serving as an officer when he wrote one of his first stories about gremlins. When Disney got word of this, he bought the film rights before the book was even published. The two worked closely to develop the idea, considering both live-action and animated adaptations, but the movie was never finished. Dahl continued writing his book, The Gremlins, which he published in 1943. The novel follows a group of gremlins who sabotage RAF planes. They perceive these planes as an intrusion upon their forest homes. When their meddling downs a plane, the gremlins learn that the RAF are on a mission to protect Britain and befriend the pilot to fight the Nazis. It's illustrated images of the Gremlins in Disney's classic style threw Gremlins fully into pop culture. Other studios also adopted cartoon Gremlins for propaganda, depicting Gremlins as fighters against the Nazi threat. 20 years later, science fiction author Richard Matheson used the menacing Gremlin trope in his short story, Nightmare at 20,000 Feet. Matheson wrote of a terrified passenger on a commercial flight who spots a creature on the wing of the plane. The man identifies the creature as a gremlin, remembering the term from Pilot's War stories. Matheson would go on to adapt the story into one of the most popular, and some say best, original Twilight Zone episodes. And then we don't really hear much about gremlins, unless you count America's first subcompact automobile, the AMC Gremlin. And I guess we should, because from what I can tell, the Gremlin car was indeed named after the Gremlin monster, a monster known for causing mechanical problems? Then in 1984, a popular campy horror movie made the monster a household name, Gremlins. In the story, a young man named Billy is gifted a creature he names Gizmo, one of a cuddly, magical mammalian species called Mogwai. Curious in nature, but with kind personalities, if you allow Mogwai to eat after midnight, they form cocoons and hatch into malevolent, clawed, and sharp-toothed gremlins. Another gremlin we should not ignore is the gremlin vehicle in the opening scene of the movie. A gremlin in Gremlins. I see you, Chris Columbus. The movie evokes the developing suburban fantastic subgenre, featuring suburban teens who encounter elements of science fiction, horror, or fantasy in their otherwise mundane lives. Movies like Poltergeist, E.T., The Lost Boys, and Fright Night fit the bill, where the anxieties of growing into adulthood are mirrored by uncanny threats. And yes, Billy is in his early 20s, but he's pretty irresponsible, and the gremlins act like reckless teenagers. The gremlins in the movie borrow from Chinese folklore. In Chinese tradition, Mogwai are evil entities that cause total chaos and misfortune. Americans became fascinated with Chinese culture in the 1980s, following the establishment of the U.S.'s first official diplomatic relationship with China in 1979. More goods and more stories began to circulate between the countries. The place where Gizmo comes from in Gremlins? A Chinatown antique store. Similar to how the gremlin idea was adopted from England, the movie blends more overseas supernatural lore into American pop culture. And with more and more goods being imported from China during that time, it's an interesting parallel. Some theories say the aviators who identified the first gremlins were hallucinating, or experiencing an optical illusion. Other theories cite mass hysteria caused by the stress of war, or simple blame displacement. Heck, we still blame gremlins for unexplained or undiagnosed mechanical problems. And outside of mechanics, the word has been used widely to denote any troublesome being that causes a delay or setback. Next time something goes wrong, just blame the gremlins. Before you go, we wanted to tell you about Weathered, Earth's Extremes. If you're familiar with the YouTube series on PBS Terra, you'll be excited to know that it's expanding into a TV miniseries, which tells a definitive story about our changing weather and climate. This show is a must-watch for anybody who wants to understand where we stand in the fight against climate change. There's a link in the description. Thanks for watching.